إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his servant and his messenger. This morning, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, we like to complete this topic dealing with the manhaj of Ahl Sunnah in uniting the Ummah by Shaykh Abdul Razzaq, the son of Shaykh Abdul Muhsin Al-Abbad Al-Badr, hafidhahumullah, may Allah protect and preserve both of them. And what we have read during the days of this week, the Shaykh has outlined the importance of the matter of unity of the Muslims, uniting the Muslims and eliminating this tremendous problem of division and splitting and separation and differing between the Muslims. And indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has warned us against this division and splitting, and He has commanded us to be united, yani united upon the Quran and Sunnah as it was understood by the Salaf of this Ummah. And the Shaykh mentioned a number of points in the introduction to this topic, including that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded us, He has prohibited us from separating in the deen, dividing up the deen, or separating ourselves from the deen that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has established for us. And the Shaykh mentioned various points during the course of this topic. Of course, the most important of them is that which is contained in the ayat of Surah Ar-Rum, the 30th surah of the Quran, the 30th ayat and 31st ayat particularly, and the 32nd ayat. And in these ayat, the Shaykh highlights, alaykum salam, he highlights for us the six fundamental solutions to eliminating division and separation and differing that have come in these ayat, especially in the first two ayat, 30 and 31. So, we covered all of these points already in the last few days, and today, inshallah, we'd like to complete this topic. And what remains from the last point, and that is the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَلَا تَكُونُوا مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ, and do not be from among the mushriks, those who associate or make something as an equal or a partner with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in those things that are His exclusive rights that belong to Allah alone. And that, the most important of that is the right of worship, that there is no one or no thing that has a right to be worshipped along with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or instead of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So from amongst the points that we mentioned quickly, the ayat begins with establishing oneself completely and totally upon the deen of Allah. وَعَقِمْ وَجَحَكَ لِلدِّينِ حَنِيفًا. This is the first point that we began with, and the last point that we end with is coupled with it in the end, that is, and do not be from amongst the mushrikeen. So what do we mean by establishing one's face, or turning, directing one's face for the deen, hanifan, being inclined towards the deen, being inclined towards a tawheed? We mean total surrender and submission and compliance with the commands of Allah and avoiding His prohibitions. And of course, from the most important of the commands of Allah is the establishment of the salah. And especially for the men, the establishment of the salah in jama'ah, in congregation. And the greatest of all the prohibitions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the prohibition of shirk. So we see that the establishment of the deen, yani compliance, complete surrender and submission, it requires of us to fulfill the commands of Allah, the greatest and most important of them being establishment of the salah, and it requires of us to avoid Allah's prohibitions, the greatest of them being the prohibition of shirk. So we began with this point of establishing the deen, surrendering oneself completely to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, establishing the tawheed, and we end with the same point, that is the prohibition of a shirk. So yesterday, we talked about this matter of avoiding shirk. We mentioned a number of things that the Shaykh, Hafidhullah, may Allah protect and preserve him, highlighted. And from amongst those things that we read yesterday is the attention and the care that the scholars of the Sunnah has given to the matter of Aqeedah. We do not find a scholar from the people of Sunnah except that they have written with some detail, with proofs and evidences concerning the matter of Aqeedah, the importance of Aqeedah and the affairs of Aqeedah, the fundamentals of this deen, in order to clarify for the Muslims what is the correct Aqeedah, so that the people will be united upon the correct Aqeedah. In fact, it is the correct Aqeedah and the correct understanding of Islam, the implementation of the Sunnah, which unites people. And it is the false Aqeedah and misunderstanding and misinterpretations of what we are supposed to believe in, and particularly misinterpretations and misunderstanding of the meaning of La ilaha illallah, that causes division. It is innovation in the deen that causes division. When every person follows their own understanding and their own interpretations and their own practices that they have invented in the deen, this is what causes division. So this is the point that we want to begin with today. After the Shaykh mentioned the attention and care that the scholars of Sunnah has given to laying out the matters of Aqeedah, after he mentioned this, and he mentioned the correct interpretation of La ilaha illallah, and that is the meaning that is contained in ayats like وَعَبُدُ اللَّهِ وَلَا تُشْرِكُ بِهِ شَيْئًا in Surah Al-Nisa, 4th Surah 36 ayat. The command to worship Allah alone and the prohibition of associating anyone or anything with Him as a partner. This contains the two points of affirmation and negation. And this is the meaning of La ilaha illallah, that is negation of worship for everything other than Allah and affirmation of worship for Allah alone. And the Shaykh mentioned a number of ayahs like this, every one of them alluding to the point of the necessity of affirming worship for Allah alone and the necessity of negating worship to other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the Shaykh mentioned some of the interpretations of the people of deviation for La ilaha illallah. And from amongst those interpretations, he said, some of them in their books, which they have ascribed to the Sunnah, have interpreted the meaning of La ilaha illallah as La qadira ala al-ikhtira' illallah, that there is no one that has the ability to originate or to create except Allah. And this is rububiyya. And some of them said, La ghani bi nafsihi, amma siwa, that there is no one that is self-sufficient without need of anyone besides himself except Allah. And this is also from the rububiyya or from asma wa sifat. And finally he said, and some of them said, la rab illallah, that there is no rab except Allah. And all of these interpretations fail to mention the essence of la ilaha illallah, and that is that there is no one that deserves to be worshipped except Allah. So the Shaykh concludes this discussion by mentioning the fact that there is no true unity except with unity upon the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There is no true unity unless that unity is based upon the Book of Allah, compliance with the Book of Allah, and compliance with the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And due to this, you notice that al-jama'a, the unified body, is coupled with the sunnah, and division is coupled with innovation. So they say, ahl sunnah wal jama'a, the people of sunnah and the unified body, ahl sunnah wal jama'a, that which unites the people into a true jama'a, it is compliance with the sunnah. And they say, Ahlul Bid'ah wal Furqa, يعني the people of innovation and separation, because that which causes separation is innovation. This is because the Sunnah unites and innovation separates. The Sunnah unites the Muslims upon one means of guidance, upon one methodology, upon one course. As Abu al-Mughaffar al-Sam'ani rahimahullah said, from that which proves that Ahlul Hadith are upon the truth is that if you review all of their compiled books, from the first of them to the last of them, the old of them and the new of them, in spite of the difference in their lands and errors, and meaning the time periods, the different time periods that they lived in, and despite the distance of that which is between them in residence, and the fact that each one of them would be in a different province of the many provinces, you find them to be in clarification of the creed upon one course and one way. Yani, the clarification of the aqeedah, we find that they are all saying the same thing. That the people of Sunnah, the scholars of Sunnah from every age, if you read the books of the scholars of today, like Al-Imam Abdulaziz ibn Baz, or Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, Al-Imam Muhammad Nasruddin al-Albani, and other scholars from those who are living today, like Sheikh Salih al-Fawzan and Sheikh Muhsin Abdul Muhsin al-Abbad, you will find that what they are saying is the same thing that the earlier scholars said. There's no difference between them in what they have outlined and clarified and detailed from the Aqeedah of Islam. Their statement concerning the Aqeedah is one, and their narrations are one. You do not see there being difference between them, nor separation in anything, not even a little. Rather, if you were to gather all of that which passed upon their tongues and which they transmitted from their predecessors, you would find it to be as if it came from one heart and emanated from one tongue. Is there any evidence for the truth clearer than this? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah An-Nisa, in the fourth surah and 82nd ayat, أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ وَلَوْ كَانَ مِنْ عِنْدِ غَيْرِ اللَّهِ لَوَجَدُوا فِيهِ اخْتِلَافًا كَثِيرًا. Do they not then consider the Qur'an? Do they not reflect upon the Qur'an? Had it been from other than Allah, they would have found therein much or many contradictions. Yani, if the Qur'an had been from other than Allah, then you would find from the beginning of it to the end of it, or somewhere in between, differences or contradictions. But because it is from one source, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself, there's no contradictions within the Qur'an. And likewise, this is what we find concerning the scholars of the people of Sunnah, that what they have outlined as al-aqeedah al-islamiyah, it is one aqeedah with no difference between them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also said in Surah Ali Imran, third surah, 103rd ayat, وَاتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا. And hold fast, all of you together, to the rope of Allah, يعني to the Qur'an and to the Sunnah, to the deen of Allah. Hold fast all together to the rope of Allah and be not divided among yourselves. And this ayat is a clear indication of the importance of unity of the Muslims, but unity based upon what? Based upon adhering to, sticking to the rope of Allah, that is the deen of Allah. Yani that deen which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in its details, its aqeedah, its ibadah, and so on to the end of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has guided us to. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands us in this ayah to hold fast to the deen of Allah all together, yani being united, and do not be separated. As for those whose point of reference is the intellect, or visions, or dreams, or false reports, or opinions, or preferences, etc., you find them to be in the utmost disarray and the utmost discord. For this reason, the people of knowledge have a tremendous statement in explanation of the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is found within the Sahih of Muslim from the hadith of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, لا تحاسدوا ولا تناجشوا ولا تباغضوا ولا تدابروا وكونوا عباد الله إخوانا. Do not envy one another, and do not practice treachery in business transactions. Do not hate one another. Do not turn your backs on one another. And be, O slaves of Allah, be brothers to one another. Regarding his sallallahu alayhi wasallam statement, do not hate one another, the scholars of the Sunnah say, in this is an indication or a pointing to the prohibition of innovation. Because it is a reason, and in hating one another, and innovation is a reason for separation and mutual hatred. And innovation caused people to separate one another and to hate one another. For he who invents an innovation or spreads a newly invented matter among the Muslims, by way of that he has split their rank. The one who refutes him and negates his falsehood and refutes his innovation is not the one who has split the rank of the Muslims. Yani, the one who refutes innovation or deviation or corruption, he is not the one who has split the Muslims. Rather, the one who invented the innovation is the one who causes division. However, you find those who cast all the blame for separating the ranks of Ahlul Sunnah, yani they blame the people who call to the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam and warn against innovation and desires. They blame them for being the cause of disunity. They say they are those who separate the ranks. The truth is that the one who separates the ranks is the one who brings the innovation and spreads it amongst the Muslims and circulates it between them. So by way of making the religion purely for Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala and establishing the statement of Tawheed, La ilaha illallah, none has the right to be worshipped except Allah, in accordance with its prerequisites, which the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam indicate, there will be unity. Yani, if we establish the Deen of Allah, establish the Tawheed of Allah, in accordance with the requirements and preconditions that are necessitated by the correct meaning of La ilaha illallah, this is what brings about unity. Unity will never be by way of contriving opinions and methodologies which are not within the Book of Allah, which are not based upon the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then the Shaykh, he says in closing, and this is the end, near the end of what he has indicated here, he said, I have previously mentioned a short while ago that there are those who institute principles and formulate foundations by way of which they attempt to unite the people and unite their word. However, they will never actualize, yani, the unity of the Muslims, because true unity will not occur except based upon the Sunnah. For the Sunnah accompanies unity and bid'ah accompanies separation. This is a constant order of things. Therefore, unification of the rank of the Muslims and uniting their word will not be except by way of them truthfully returning to the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this also reminds us of the solution that the Shaykh mentioned, which he mentioned as the fourth solution in these ayat, and that is the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to return to Him in repentance. And the Shaykh, he said previously that it is upon us to call the people to abandon their deviations and their innovations and return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, return to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and return to the book and the sunnah. And this is from the important means of solving division and separation and differing from the Muslims, that we repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and call the people of deviation to repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and turn back to the Book of Allah and to the Sunnah. And the Shaykh closes with this statement. There is a statement by Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah, in which he has mentioned a comprehensive principle and a firm foundation and beneficial fundamental connected to unifying the Muslims. He cited under it proofs and evidences and conclusive arguments from the Book of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala to clarify how to unite the Muslims. He, rahimahullah, said after extensive speech regarding this issue in the first volume of Al-Fatawa, at its beginning, yani in the beginning of the first volume of Majmu'a Fatawa of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, yani after mentioning yani numerous evidences and proofs and conclusive arguments, he says, it is clear that the means for unification and togetherness is consolidating the religion and acting upon all of it. Yani consolidating the religion, that means do not separate the religion and do not separate from the deen that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed through the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And acting upon all of it, meaning not taking some aspects of the deen and leaving other aspects, but rather taking the whole of this deen, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in another place in the Quran, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا دُخُلُوا فِي السِّلْمِ كَافَةً. Yani, O you who believe, enter into submission, into Islam, the whole of the deen, enter into it completely and totally. And this is yani from the most important of the essence of the matters of unification, that the people comply completely and totally with all that Allah has revealed. And that is the worship of Allah alone, and associating none in worship with Him, as He has ordered, outwardly and inwardly. Yani the matters of worship that are within the human being in the heart, the matters of worship of the heart, like yani sincerity, al-ikhlas, and humility, and love, and hope, and fear, that these matters have to be attended to, the matters of the heart, because it is from the matters of the heart that we find yani the outward yani manifestation in the actions of the human being. Therefore, the worship of Allah alone begins with establishing the Islam and the Tawheed and the sincerity inwardly, and then manifesting it outwardly. The reason for separation is abandoning a portion of that which the servant is commanded with and transgression between them. Yani one of the reasons for separation is that some of the people take one aspect of the deen and leave other aspects. So you find that some people are attending to the importance of Salat and Jama'ah, but they are giving no attention whatsoever to the Islamic Aqidah. We find people emphasizing the great importance of prayer and performing the prayer in Jama'ah, which is good, there's no doubt. However, how can there be unity upon one aspect of the deen while the foundation of the matter, the asl, the source, has been abandoned? The end result of Jama'ah, yani of the people coming together in Jama'ah, is that we will achieve the mercy of Allah and His good pleasure and His blessings and happiness in the dunya and the hereafter, and illumination of the faces. This is the consequence and the result and the reward of al-jama'ah. The end result of separation, al-furqa, is the punishment of Allah and His curse and darkening of the faces, and the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam being free of such people. The Shaykh concludes after this statement from Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah. In conclusion of this treatise, which I hope to be a benefit, I say uniting the word of the Muslims and setting in order their disarray and rectifying that which is between them is from the most important of affairs, which is proper that the Muslim give due consideration to, especially the scholars of the Muslims and the callers to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Yani this fear of uniting the Muslims is of the most important matters that every Muslim should give care to, but especially the scholars and the people who are involved in da'wah. And Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says in Surah An-Nisa, the fourth surah, 114th ayat, لَا خَيْرَ فِي كَثِيرٍ مِّن نَجْوَاهُمْ إِلَّا مَنْ أَمَرَ بِصَدَقَةٍ أَوْ مَعْرُوفٍ أَوْ إِصْلَاحٍ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ. there's absolutely no good in most of their secret talks, yani their secret councils, except in he who orders charity or commands that which is ma'roof, the good things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has established and clarified as being good, or those who make reconciliation between the people. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also said in Surah Al-Hujurat, 49th Surah, 10th Ayat, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَةٌ فَأَصْلِحُوا بَيْنَ أَخَوَيْكُمْ وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ. That the believers, indeed the believers, are nothing else than brothers. The believers are brothers to one another. So make reconciliation between your brothers and fear Allah that you may receive mercy. And in both of these ayats, the point that the Shaykh is emphasizing here is Islah bayn al-nas, yani the rectification and reconciliation between yani differing or opposing or disputing parties of the Muslims. When you look at the state of a number of the people who are involved in calling to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, you find that they have great concern and give much importance to rectifying that which is between the people in affairs of inheritance. Yani when the people differ about the inheritance that someone has left behind for them, some of the people of knowledge and the people involved in da'wah, they give a lot of care to the differing among the people in matters of inheritance, or affairs of marriage, or affairs of yani business, buying and selling, or a number of other important and greatly beneficial affairs. However, on the contrary, they neglect an affair which is from the most important of them all, and it is rectifying that which is between the people in the field or in the area of aqidah, and uniting the word upon the correct and pure aqidah, which is derived from the book of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala and the sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And here, yani, we should note that there's no doubt that these matters that the Muslims may have differences amongst them concerning, these are matters that are of importance, no doubt. However, how can we yani attend to the matters where the Muslims differ in their business affairs or in their marital affairs or in other affairs, and we do not give attention to the most important affair that the Muslims have difference concerning, and that is the correct aqidah. So that which is obligatory upon every Muslim whom Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has enlightened in the religion of Allah is that he give due consideration to this great matter, rectifying that which is between the people by way of uniting the word of the Muslims upon the correct aqidah, upon the deen of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, which has come within the book and the sunnah. For there is no salvation for the people, or any security for them, or happiness in the dunya or the akhirah, except by way of uniting the people upon correct aqidah. And for this reason, Al-Imam Malik ibn Anas, rahimahullah, said, As-sunnah safinatu nuh, man raqibaha naja, wa man takhallafa anha gharaqa. The sunnah is like the ark of Nuh alayhi salam. He who boards it will be saved, and he who stays behind will be drowned. Yani the people who got on the ship of Nuh alayhi salam were saved, and those, all of those who remained behind, they were destroyed. And likewise, the sunnah, whoever adheres to the sunnah will be saved, and whoever abandons the sunnah will be destroyed. And by sunnah here, we do not mean the limited meaning of sunnah, meaning those things which are not obligatory. Yani the meaning of sunnah, as some people say, this is fard and this is sunnah. So we don't mean this limited meaning of sunnah, those things which are not obligatory. Nor do we mean the other limited meanings of sunnah that we may find, but rather what we mean by sunnah here, we mean the Islamic aqidah. Yani the scholars of sunnah have identified the word sunnah itself to have many meanings. And from amongst the meanings of sunnah is that sunnah is the opposite of fard or wajib. And from amongst the meanings of sunnah is that sunnah is the opposite of bid'ah. And from amongst the meanings of sunnah is that sunnah is that which is not found in the Quran, is found in the sunnah. And so the word sunnah has many meanings, and also from amongst the meanings of sunnah is the tariqah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his total way. And from amongst the meanings of sunnah is the Islamic aqidah, as we find in many of the books of the people of sunnah, like the book of Al-Imam Ahmed, Usul As-Sunnah. And what he means here by the fundamentals of sunnah, he means the fundamentals of the Islamic aqidah. So whoever adheres to the sunnah, the correct aqidah, the foundation of Islam, they will be saved, even if they erred in some secondary matters. But what is of utmost importance is that a person adheres to the correct aqidah. Because if a person dies on tawheed, with whatever sins or mistakes they may have, even if they are punished for their errors or their mistakes or their sins, they will eventually be removed from that punishment and admitted into the Jannah. Whereas the people who die upon shirk, no matter what other deeds of goodness they have done, whoever dies on shirk, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never forgive the person who dies upon shirk. So the most important matter is the correct aqidah, and the secondary matters are just that, secondary. Hence, salvation and safety is only by returning to the book and the sunnah and holding fast to them, as well as returning to the correct aqidah, which is derived from them, and following the path of the pious predecessors from amongst the companions, radiallahu anhum ajma'in, and those who traversed upon their methodology and followed their footsteps until the day of recompense. So we ask Allah to make us from amongst them, and to rectify that which is between us, and to bring our hearts together. Yani to bring our hearts together. Naam. Because if the hearts come together, the people will truly be united. And to guide us to the paths of safety, and to remove us from darkness into light, and to steer us clear from lewdness, every type of filth and corruption, that which is apparent from it, and that which is hidden. Yani, the filth that is open and that which is secret. And to bless us in our hearing, and our sight, and our hearts, and our wives, and our offspring, and to accept our repentance. Indeed, He is the one who accepts repentance. He is the most merciful. May the prayers, peace, favors, and blessings be upon the servant of Allah and His Messenger, our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is the end of what the Shaykh said. So we stop here. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. And if there's any questions or any comments or any corrections, inshallah we have a few minutes. Okay, let me just reiterate, and take a moment just to remind us as we depart from this very important topic, the 6 points that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in these ayats begin with iqamat al-wajh lid-deen, yani establishing or directing one's face towards the deen. Hanifan, yani being upright, turned towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and tawheed alone. And after this he mentioned, walakin, yani this deen that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has established, yani the fitrah that He has created the human beings upon, that this is a deen al-qayyim, the upright deen, walakin akthar an-nasi la ya'lamun. But most of the people don't know this deen. They don't know Islam correctly. Yani most of the Muslims, we're not talking about the people in general, we're talking about most of the Muslims. Forget about the non-Muslims. Of course, they don't have a clue about what is Islam. But even the Muslims, most of the Muslims do not know this upright deen as it was exemplified by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, from its foundations in aqidah to the matters of ibadah and character and manners and da'wah and so on. So this is the second matter, that is the importance of having knowledge of Allah's deen, and that knowledge is only the knowledge that is from the Quran and the Sunnah as it was understood by the Salaf of this Ummah. After this he mentioned munibina ilayhi wattaqu, yani that from the important solutions to the problem of disunity and differing amongst the Muslims is that we turn to Allah in repentance, yani return to Allah, return to the book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and abandon our errors and mistakes and deviations and corruptions and innovations and opinions that are contrary to the book and the Sunnah, and that we establish at-taqwa, that we establish at-taqwa, and that is a consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that reminds us all the time to comply with His commands and to avoid His prohibitions. And as Talq ibn Habib, rahimahullah, he said that at-taqwa, it is to act upon the obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala based upon a light from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is the revelation, the Quran and the Sunnah, hoping for a reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then abandoning acts of disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala based upon a light from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, fearing the reward of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So establishing taqwa in our lives, being conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, knowing that He is hearing us and that He is seeing us and that He has power over us at every moment and in every situation or circumstance. And after this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the importance of establishing the salat and the great danger of falling into a shirk. And these are the 6 points that the Shaykh highlighted in this presentation. And these are the points that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in these ayat, in which He warned us against separation. And then He gave us some of the most important matters which are the solution to separation, and that is what we have highlighted here. Again, if there's any question or any comment, inshallah, we still have a chance for that. Now,
knowing that that's their specialty in terms of, you know, working with the government, as a Muslim, do they have rights over us? Like, in terms of their kalam, their weight?
The political analysts?
Do they appear on TV or etc., you know, telling people, you know, this is what should be done?
Allahu alam, but it appears as though what you are referring to are people who think that the solution to the problems of the Muslims is based upon the actions of the rulers or the government, and therefore they concentrate and spend most of their time examining the actions and the practices of the people in government and focus on this matter, while most people who focus on these things, the focus on this, there's no doubt that this will lead to failing to pay attention to that which is more important than what the people in the government are doing, and that is what the people themselves are doing in terms of complying with the requirements of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His commands and His prohibitions. So, most of these people, Allah knows best. I haven't listened to them, and I don't listen to them. I don't think they have any right to be listened to. These people are mostly ignorant people who don't have knowledge of the deen. Even though there may be some from amongst them who could be identified as students of knowledge. But these people, for the most part, have deviated from whatever knowledge they have. And they have, become occupied with other matters that are of no great importance and are of no real great benefit to the Muslims. Rather, the time that they spend in this political analysis, of the current affairs of the governments, is really a distraction of the people from that which is of real importance. And what is of real importance is the people seeking knowledge of the deen and making an effort to act upon that knowledge, to implement that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us as a way of life, to live by Islam. And these people distract from this, and therefore, for the most part, we can say that these people, we shouldn't waste our time listening to anything that they have to say. There's no real great value in what they are saying. Even if they are correct in their analysis of what the government people are doing, if they haven't really addressed the issues of compliance of the Muslims with the deen of Allah, then they haven't given us any benefit whatsoever. Because this is the real solution. Alaykum salam. Not being distracted with some political analysis of what the government or the people in government are doing. Allah knows best. Alaykum salam wa rahmatullah. Surah جزاك الله خير. And by the way, يعني there are a lot of benefits in this Surah Al-Hujurat, especially related to the affairs of community life and social activity and relations between the people. From the beginning of this surah to the end of it, it deals with the matters of social interaction and relations between the people. So whoever yani examines this surah carefully and reads the tafsir, any of the tafsirs, the tafsir of Ibn Kathir particularly, and any of the other tafsirs from the people of Sunnah, then they will find a great benefit in this surah, and a lot of issues that are problems amongst the people yani addressed in this surah, and the solutions and guidance is given there. So it's a surah that it's a short surah of the Quran, it's not a very lengthy surah, and it contains yani benefit from the beginning of the end in social matters in particular, but in the matters of deen in general, but especially yani the problems between people, a lot of matters are addressed here, and a lot of the problems, and from the most important of them is that which the Shaykh had hinted to earlier in the reading, and that is yani the problem of those people who go ahead of, who put themselves forward before Allah and His Messenger. Yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins this surah mentioning the problem of the people, or prohibiting the people from putting themselves forward before Allah and His Messenger, meaning that the people say things, especially about their aqidah, or they do things, especially in matters of worship, before they have confirmed whether or not what they are saying is in compliance with that which the Prophet ﷺ have said, or before confirming that what they are doing, their actions, before confirming that what they are doing is in compliance with the example of the Prophet ﷺ. And this is a very, very dangerous matter, that people put themselves forward ahead of Allah and His Messenger, yani ahead of that which is in the Quran and Sunnah, and they have their own sayings and their own opinions and their own manners and their ways of worship that are not in accordance with the Quran and the Sunnah. And this is yani the first prohibition that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins this surah with. Naam. طيب, then we'll stop here. Tomorrow, بإذن الله تعالى, we're going to begin reading the book by Shaykh Sulaiman Al-Ruhayli, حفظه الله, may Allah protect and preserve him, dealing with the deviation of the youth and the cure or any solution to this problem. So hopefully, بإذن الله تعالى, we'll begin this tomorrow and we'll go for a few days with it and until somewhere in the middle of the week. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك وإياكم